When I listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, I don't fall asleep at the wheel like the Junkyard Dog.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwback and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
Question about it. There will be wrestling tonight in Augusta, Georgia at the Civic Center, next Tuesday in Americus, Georgia, next Thursday in Columbus, Georgia.
You know, Gordon Sully, the only thing standing between the Legion of Doom and Bundy and Hanson and their wildest dreams of success is reality. Can you beat these two men, Bundy? Oh, you're a big man, you two, Stan Hansen. Probably the biggest, most formidable team to come down the pike. And you'll have your chance tomorrow night in the Omni. A chance that you better take advantage of, right, huh?
Hey, that's it, Bundy. We're getting just a little more hateful and sick up here for you. We're going to put the calls to you, boys in the Omni.
Road Warriors have only just...
Tomorrow night at the Omni.
Tomorrow night, 8:30, the Omni in Atlanta, a sensational card. World's heavyweight champion Ric Flair defends the golden belt against the new national heavyweight champion.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
And a happy howdy and how are you, everybody? What's going on? Welcome to another exciting episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact player, Mr. Philly Rea, and no, I am not joined by Choppy once again. So, he tapped out on me about 48 hours ago, maybe a little less than that. So, I was not going to do the show at all. And last time I was home was about 8:30 this morning, so I figured, you know what, I just got in. And I had told AA, I was like, listen, if I don't come home in time, I might just, do like a best of or something, or like a classic episode of just replay last week's, which you guys were listening to now. So I'm going to log in for a little while and say hello and we'll just shoot the shit. We'll open the phone lines maybe, open the Skype up. Really nothing on the docket. We'll just talk a little bit, talk some wrestling, talk whatever you guys want to talk about. I'm running on fumes right now, so I've been doing the whole church thing starting today and then tomorrow and then Sunday, so got a whole bunch of stuff going on, so got to give my time when it's available, so that's what I'm doing, and hope everybody's having a good day. Excuse me. Oh, wow. Got to stop choking on candy. Pastor Dell's in the room. Hello, Shaylin. Mr. X was checking in. Hello, sir. How are you? Everybody else is anonymous. thank you very much for hanging out tonight. So, I didn't really do – I prepared for a throwback, which we'll probably do next week unless Choppy bails out on me again, which I hope he doesn't, which was the Crockett Cup from 86, which is one of my favorite cards of all time. And hopefully we could do – you know, I didn't want to do it by myself. The whole point was getting Choppy involved. I've seen the thing a million times. So – Mega Powers and myself did 87, so we didn't do 88, and we didn't do 86, so I figured, why not? We'll do 86, started it all off. It was a fun tournament. I wound up getting the footage for it, because at one point I had raw footage of the Crockett Cup, which was basically just wrestling and no commentary. It was like, I still have it, too. It's like 2.5 hours of nothing but wrestling from the Crockett Cup of 86, which one day I may just put commentary to, and I'll invite people over, and we'll do it, and it'd be pretty cool. I've never been in that position before. I mean, I've been in a position where I could have called a couple of matches. I just didn't. I would love to call. I would love to be a part of an announcing team. I think I could be a good color commentator. Maybe not too much play-by-play. I get caught up in the whole excitement. Maybe I could do a nice color commentator role. What do you guys think? Yeah, it's definitely Passion Week. We call it Holy Week here, Pastor. Tonight was pretty somber, but it was a good service. And my pastor comes correct. He's a good dude, and we're setting up for my wife is in charge of the Easter egg hunt this year. And where we live, it's like a big deal. You buy tickets for it and stuff, and it's like 200 kids, and it's sold out already. So like 200 kids times their parents times their grandparents, it's gonna be like 1,000 people on my church grounds tomorrow. So we set up today and did all the stuff. So now tomorrow we have to go do the whole thing and then clean up and then come back for service on Sunday. So just exhausted. It's pretty. It's fulfilling and exhausting at the same time, you know. Like we were at church from like 11 this morning till about almost 9 at night. So I don't know who sent me these Skype requests. It doesn't even looks like it's a that looks like it's a smutty one. I don't know. I'm getting like these. Yeah, no, it's all right. That's not a real person. If you are, then say hello, message me, but, you know. Anyway, so, yeah, doing that now, and then, I figured, why not? I'm not going to go to bed yet. I'll skip the Mets. The Mets are playing right now. There's playoff hockey. I'll watch that later on. I figured, you know what? I got to be honest with you guys. I'm not feeling this at all. The last couple of throwbacks have been, a little somber for me for some reason. I'm not in a wrestling mode. WrestleMania was great, and the whole day was great, and then just between behind the scenes shit and then Choppy not being here, and I'm overwhelmed with stuff. I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna knock it out, and hopefully we'll have a good show tonight, and we'll bug out. Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Yeah, she actually read tonight. She did some reading tonight. She wasn't going to read, but they asked her to read, and she read. And they did the host stations, and they blew the candles and lit the lights and draped the cross. It was pretty somber, but, it's a good service, and it sets the tone for Sunday and the most important day on the Christian calendar next to Christmas. So it's, we're good. Blessings to everybody, you included. Blessings to everybody. Hope you guys have a great Easter, Passover, whatever you guys are celebrating this week. I know it's been great going to work because whenever there's a Jewish holiday and the kids are out of school at the same time, my commute has been absolutely amazing. I've taken at least 30 minutes off my commute every day from Monday to Thursday. It has been fantastic. No traffic, no bullshit, no just getting uptown was no problem. The streets were like empty. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jewish people. And thank you for spring break. I was thanking the Jews all week. So, yeah, man, it's been a, you know, anyway. So getting back to the Crockett Cup. So, yeah, I had the raw footage, wound up getting the regular footage, and then when I found the regular footage, I instantaneously messaged Choppy. I was like, dude, we got to do this. Like, this is the coup de grace. And we've been talking about the Raw Warriors for a minute. And the Raw Warriors, we all know, my favorite tag team of all time. I was talking with Baz the other day online. Baz is a big Raw Warrior mark, too. So, you know, it's going to be fun. And anytime you talk about old NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions, Georgia, it's just always a good time. Always, always, always a good time when we talk about Jim Crockett and the Mid-Atlantic area. And just, I love that era. I love it. It's so good. And I'm so glad they're putting stuff up on the network. I'm so glad I'm coming across it online. And I'm just beside myself. I'm happy about it. So we're going to stay on for about maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. That really depends on all of you, okay? If you guys want to get on, like, definitely, you know, Skype in, Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. Or you want to call in, 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394. You guys can call in. And I'm going to give the floor to you guys. Whatever you guys want to talk about, it's on your docket, man. Make it happen. Make it happen for all of us here. Let's have a good time tonight. So, I did watch a little Raw, a little SmackDown. The whole talent swap thing, I was hoping to get Choppy's opinion on this, but he's not here, obviously. You know, I think because of what happened at Mania, they had to do some kind of swap. I would have been happy if they did a whole full-fledged draft. But I do like the sides coming and going. I would have liked to see Cena and The Miz go back to Raw. I'm glad Kevin Owens is on SmackDown. Bray Wyatt is going back to Raw, but he's going to finish his thing with Randy Orton, which I think is pretty cool. I think it's all right. I think it's you know, a good deal, as we're joined by the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Silver One, Mr. Surfer. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
How you feeling, man?
You know, feeling okay.
Yeah?
Glad to be home.
Oh, good, good. Good, good. So the rehab...
Yeah, that witness protection just wasn't getting it anymore, so...
Oh, no?
No.
Nice.
I mean, the food was terrible, and... But, I did get to appreciate WrestleMania.
Yes.
And, thankful for that.
Yeah, I spoke to Surf a couple days before, and he was, not able to get WrestleMania, so we made sure he got WrestleMania, because it's WrestleMania, and, you know, you should be watching WrestleMania.
You know, I thought they did a good job.
I thought so, too.
I was surprised about the Lesnar-Goldberg match. Well, not that it would, I mean, it would the way you would expect with two guys doing limited moves, but like, I mean, you assume going in that Lesnar was going to win the match, and he suplexed Goldberg like two or three times. But when Goldberg hit him back with that spear, it left you hanging in the air. Maybe you're not going to drop the belt tonight. And I at least thought that they did a good job of, at least for a moment, taking away your expectation of who's going to win the match.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard my show last week, but everybody in the room that was with us all broke out their phones and used them as stopwatches to see how long the match would go. So,
that was, yeah, because, I mean, like, one could only do a spear, the other can do German suplex. I mean, and then Goldberg, you know, he's a second away from being injured. He got injured a couple of times while he was back that we know of, doing his own move. So you expect that him being thrown on his neck would be real damaging to him, so... And
all in all, it was good.
Now, you know, I turned away for a second and didn't catch the end of the Triple H match.
I was anticipating that the most, believe it or not. I was excited for that match, and I said it last week too. I said Seth Rollins really sold the injury well, And Triple H looks good, man. He looks like 2002 good.
Yeah, he looked more leaner than he has in a few years.
God, he looks so good.
You could tell, like, he weren't wrestling. And, like, at one point he came out and he looked a little soft around the waist, but...
Yeah. So if you guys want to call in, hang out with me and Surfer, message me and I'll call, and I have to Skype you in for some reason, because if I take another call, I put Surfer on hold. The new Skype system is terrible, but it's 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394. Skype is all one word, Throwbacks and Awfulness. But yeah, man, I enjoyed it. You should go back and watch that match. It's pretty good.
Yeah, when I get a chance, I will. I saw most of it. I just didn't see, like, the total end I missed. Like, the whole thing with... I mean, I caught it with showing it on TV.
Yeah.
With Triple H bumping into Stephanie. She going into the table and everything. Which almost happens every time they both come down to the ring.
Yeah.
During WrestleMania.
Yeah.
She takes a bump of some kind.
Yeah, it was good though. That spot outside with the railing, they got hurt on that one. I know Goldberg got hurt on that. He was, you know, I think he hurt his shoulder doing the spear thing through the what do you call it, the rail, the barrier there.
Mm-hmm. So, now I thought that cruiserweight title, that should have been on the main show.
I thought the IC title should have been swapped out with the women's SmackDown championship. I mean, how do you put championships on the friggin' pre-show, man? If you're going to run a six-hour show, and this is one of the only knocks I had. If you're going to run a six-hour show, at least showcase your champions on the main card. Do the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and do something else. Like, but your titles should be defended on the main card on your Super Bowl of wrestling. Sorry.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially with 7 hours. How long was the main show? It was like 7 to 12, right?
It was 7 o'clock to almost midnight, so you're looking at almost 5 hours, man, and then you add another hour to the pre-show, which was six. Actually, if you get...
The pre-show was 2 hours.
They started the pre-show 2 hours, but...
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
But the actual wrestling was from 6 o'clock to almost midnight. So you're looking at almost 6 hours of wrestling... I got a 9-year-old, man. We kept him out, you know. And he was all excited, but I mean, not for nothing to Double A and to Nick German Suplex and all the other guys that we know that went down there for Mania. You guys for sitting there for 6 hours, you get kudos, man. Because I don't know if I could sit there for 6 hours and watch wrestling, man. It was almost rough for 4 hours when we went to WrestleMania 29. You know, especially if you have a family, man. If you have a family, your kids, you can't keep your kids interested for like that long, unless you're sitting right next to the action, you know.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do the pre-show. I had a ticket, I'd go in like 10 minutes before it was supposed to start.
Yeah, it's like I remember going to like shows, like rock concerts as a kid, and you know, shows like regular shows in like clubs in New York. And my friends' bands would play and be like, oh, yeah, man, you know, we go on at, like, 11 o'clock at night. Or we go on at 8 o'clock, and we get there, and, like, there's, like, three bands before them. So you got to sit through these bands. You're like, oh, man, you already paid to get in. It's like, and that becomes a chore, man. If you have to hang out and you don't want to hang out.
And you want a good spot.
Yeah, you got to get a good spot. And, you know, and if you have a date, you can't do anything. You have to protect the date from all the slam dancing and moshing and shit.
And they stand in venues, right?
Yeah, most, like 95% of them are standing venues. So, you know, it's the same concept. I don't know. And I'm at that age, too, now. I can't sit somewhere for a long period of time like that. I can't. Even if it's something I like, I can't. I gotta. Like, I went to the ball game the other day. It was so cold. We went to the ball game last Saturday with the family. Like, last minute, somebody offered us tickets. Mm-hmm. It was like it was 45 degrees outside. We sat in the upper deck. The winds were whipping, dude. Wifey had a blanket on, two jackets. The kid had two jackets on. It was like, you can't enjoy that. Me, I'll sit there through the whole. But, like, around the fifth inning, I was like, damn, man, even I'm getting cold, and I'm never cold. You know? So I was like, man, I just... Sometimes when you sit there, you can't enjoy it. It takes away from the experience of being somewhere live. So, I don't know. Kudos to everybody listening, too, who went to WrestleMania and, you know, sat there for 6 hours. You know, that's kudos to you.
And, I'm trying to get tickets for the draft.
Now, I heard, now, the draft is down the road from you this year. For those who don't know, Surfer's in the southeast area, right below me in the city of brotherly love. They're having the NFL draft this year. My Vikings do not have a first-round pick. I don't think your Patriots have a first-round pick.
No, we traded it for the New Orleans receiver.
Yeah. So we for Cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and the Vikings traded theirs away to get Sam Bradford last year. So.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Was it really?
Do you really think it wasn't?
It wasn't his fault. They fell apart. The OC quit. The offensive line got hurt.
Sorry, I meant to throw this kind of.
No. The OC quit, and the quarterback couldn't stay vertical because his offensive line was hurt.
But I don't get this fascination with Sam Bradford. I mean, Eagles got him.
No, there was no fascination. We needed a quarterback.
Right. I'm saying, like, why did team pick up Sam Bradford, though?
Who else was available? There was no other available. I mean, first of all, no one's going to take a first-round pick and a second- or third-round pick for a mid-level quarterback.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have traded. Like, they probably could have got Bradford for less than a first-round pick.
That's not what they were asking for, apparently. And you know what? I think he did okay. I think, and not because he's on my team, but he did. If the OC would have stayed, if Turner would have stayed, if the offensive line didn't get hurt, I think we would have been we were like 6-0 at one point. We had the number one defense in the league coming into the league. So, I mean, we had stuff going on. It's going to be different this year without Adrian Peterson, who got hurt last year anyway. We got Latavius from Oakland. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, they probably might draft another running back and an offensive tackle now. So we'll see. But I always wanted to go to the draft. I always wanted
It seemed like if you're a running back this year, you're not getting signed unless you, like, a backup. Like the guys are supposed to be the top backs out there. Nobody's trying to sign them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like because it's a 70% now passing league, that teams don't want a running back that badly anymore. And Peterson's been asking for a boatload of money. New England ain't going to give it to him. Seattle wasn't going to give it to him. He left the Saints without a deal. So either he takes less money or he doesn't play.
Listen, I don't care how much of a passing game you got. If you got yourself a stud running back, you use him.
Well, I think it's the offense too. It depends. And passes upset the Rams. The Rams do nothing with that pick. I don't know what the Rams are going to do actually.
Because this is not the first time people thought that running backs were not going to be, you know, used much in the league. You know, they was going to running backs catching the ball at the backfield. And then all of a sudden we had, like, a ton of running backs just come out of nowhere. And all of them, are, like, put up Hall of Fame numbers, like, during the 90s.
That's a fair assessment. I think the league itself has just taken a dive in terms of play, in terms of rules, just like it's just a lot of times it's hard to watch. You, on the other hand, you're a Pats fan, so it's not hard for you to watch anything because your team wins.
Yeah, but I wish we ran the ball more than we do sometimes.
Well, depends on you know what? Again, it's a passing league. It's not like it used to be. I like smash mouth football. You're a little older than me. I know you like smash mouth football.
Well, it takes the pressure off
your quarterback.
Exactly.
You know, I don't see why teams can't balance that out. Like, why can't you do a 60-40 or a 50-50 when you have running backs? Even if they're third down backs, like, you can run the ball efficiently if you have a big enough offensive line. And then this goes into, well, listen, I'm sure Will Morgan could cover this all in the next week or two on the new show on Monday nights. Right after Raw, with the sports report. So cheap plug right there for Will. But I'm sure he'll get into this more, too. It's a different league now, Surfer. It's a different league. It's not what it used to be.
Come back around.
Well, I'm hoping that in the NBA comes back around because it's... I'm just discouraged, you know, not because my Vikings lost, because they had a decent year before they fell apart. I mean, Minnesota's got great coaching staff, they have a great defense still. Teddy Bridgewater's not coming back anytime soon, he's got that leg injury, so it's Sam Bradford right now. They brought in Case Keenum to back him up, which is, again, the quarterbacks are not, they're not a dime a dozen anymore, they come at a premium now. You know, there's a couple of quarterbacks looking for a job right now, you know?
There's always been a premium. There's never been a time where, like, everybody had a quarterback and it was just overflowing with talent. That's the position. I mean, you remember back in the day, it used to take 5 years from the time you got drafted before they even thought about starting.
Yeah.
And now guys come in and they get so much money up front that they don't even get no learning period. Just throw them in there. If you can't play right away, then you got a short career.
Yeah.
And I think Elway was the first one I remember that they threw him in as a rookie. And, of course, he did some things, but for the most part, his rookie year wasn't all that. But
they did it with Aikman, too, though. I mean,
right, but that was like, what, 10 years later from...
Right, but with Aikman, Dallas was 1-15 the year before, weren't they? Or they went 1-15 with him?
They went 1-15, yeah.
With him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... learning curves.
Definitely. And then, you know, he started getting better, and now everybody thinks that as a quarterback, you should be able to play as a rookie. And then last year, they had two rookies... got off to good starts, but, you know, one team wasn't good enough, so the bull for the Eagles didn't... I mean, he had a decent season as a rookie, but the team fell apart. And then you look at what Dax did with Dallas. I mean, everybody's trying to give them the Lombardi Trophy next year, especially if you're a Dallas fan.
Nick German and I will never become a Skins fan. Nick says to become a Skins fan. You guys have no quarterback. You have no general manager. Your coach.
They need to change their logo, and they're never going to win with that owner.
Well, first of all, yeah, Snyder's a douche, but he's. I don't know, and with the logo thing, I disagree, man. I'm sorry. I know the Native Americans, but there's so many teams that have Native American names. I know here locally, St. John's. They used to be called the Red Men. They changed their name to the St. John Storm or something like that, the Order Red. I know the MLB commissioner wants the Indians to go away from the tribe logo with the smiling Indian. Listen, man.
Chief Wahoo.
Chief Wahoo. You know what? If people wanted this to be an issue, they would have made it an issue.
They do make it an issue. They just get ignored.
You know what, though? It's not making a lot of noise. Because if it made enough noise, then all these sports franchises, the Blackhawks, the Braves, the Indians, the Redskins, they would all
I'm not offended by the Indians, but we know that the original owner of the Redskins was a blatant racist.
A lot of teams had racist. Dude, Ty Cobb was a fucking racist.
But I'm just saying, this guy, he had the first pick in the draft and traded him away because he didn't want to draft somebody black.
Dude, again, it's a terrible thing, and it's sad that in 2017 we're still talking about racism. That my point to you is, and to everybody listening, is that if this was a big issue with these sports franchises changing their name, if the Native Americans were that upset about it, if they were that mad about it, they would have made a bigger stink like they do with everything else in the world. There would have been protests. There would have been marches.
They do protest.
Yeah, but not enough to make noise. Not enough to make noise.
No, people, listen, the people ignore them. They protest all the time about the Redskins. I couldn't tell you. I'm assuming they protested about Cleveland. I don't know about all the different mascots out there. But yeah, there's always some protests about the. This is nothing new about the Redskins, but, you know,
listen,
Snyder thinks he's holding on to some tradition that he didn't even create.
You know what? It's so obnoxious that people, they nitpick. The Braves have been doing, they do the tomahawk chop for the last 40, 50 years of their existence. Like, the Indians have been around since forever, man. Like, I don't understand the logic. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. Don't change the logo. Change the team name. The Chief Wahoo thing, they're still called the Indians. They're still called the Blackhawks. They're still called the Braves. Like, if you're that pissed off, change the whole team. But they're not. And I'm sorry. There's not enough Native Americans to piss and moan about it. If there were, then we would have these name changes. We would have these teams. I just don't understand the logic in it. I really don't. It's so obnoxious that people are like, I'm offended. You're offended all of a sudden? Like, you know, you're not Native American. If a Native American,
One time people didn't realize it. It might be insensitive.
Surface. Stop. The Redskins is an insensitive. The St. John's Redmen aren't. The Redmen probably was the worst name out of all of them. That's like a Redmen was like what do you call it? Was like hold on a second. Let me see if I can. Hold on a second. Let me see if without. Hold on. Let me see if I can do this now. Mr. X, you there?
Yes, sir.
What's up, brother? Hold on, I gotta put this Skype thing's the worst, man. Let me add Surfer back in there. Give me 1 second. This fucking Skype is the worst. Come on, URFER. There it is. Add. Okay. Anyway, Surfer, you there? Hold on a second. Jesus Christ, I hate this thing. Surfer, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. This Skype is the worst. Every time I answer the call, it won't let me add the person. It just picks the phone up.
You have to do if they call, like, instead of answering it.
I have to call them back?
Drag them in, yeah.
Oh, the worst. But anyway, before I get to Mr. X, let me finish my point. Like, the St. John's Redmen, saying to an Indian you're a Redman is almost like, it's like calling a woman the C word. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the worst offensive thing you could tell an Indian.
You know? But listen, I'm not justifying. There were a lot of people that didn't realize how insensitive these things were at one time.
I'm sorry,
just,
man.
They grew up hearing it and they just started.
I want to disagree, man. How do you not find these terms offensive? For me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't because offend me. It doesn't.
Some people don't know no better. I mean.
Oh. After 50 years.
Who are these people? Are they even sports fans that are bitching about this?
Archie Bunker didn't realize how offensive he was, but he learned.
Well, that's because he was.
But who are these people bitching about it?
Most of the guys pissing and moaning about it, and people pissing and moaning about it are either Native Americans, which is their right, obviously, and people who are obviously not sports fans. But they're like in tune. They think they're in tune with society, and they get to pick and choose now what's right and what's wrong because they have a computer. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So it's like everybody has an opinion. You know, I always say people. You know, opinions like assholes. Everybody has them. Some of them stink. You know, you have your right to your opinion. But if you're going to take a sports franchise that's had the same name for 50, 60, 70 years, and then all of a sudden find it offensive after 50, 60, 70 years?
Corporations have been built off of these logos, and they're just expecting them to take them down.
Hey, let me ask them. Name the team that when they changed the name of franchise, that they lost business in what under?
Hold on. The Unsilent Majority has something to say.
I'm soaking in the bathtub. And I hear this from two rooms away. So, husband, I love you, but here's the deal. It's not that all of a sudden people have a problem with it. It's just now all of a sudden a voice has been given to the voiceless. 50, 60 years ago, Native Americans were still being carted off to boarding schools
and
whitewashed.
I understand that.
So if you don't have a platform to voice your offense, it's not that it's all of a sudden, like all of a sudden every Native American woke up and said, Jesus Christ.
There's not enough Native Americans. If there were enough Native Americans to piss and moan about it, they would change the names of these teams.
Well, no, the thing is there are enough Native Americans pissing and moaning about it, and you see it all over the place. The problem is no one actually cares because there's people like you that are saying, Jesus Christ, this is my team. It's always going to be the Greasy Dagos. Why should I change it? Now, imagine if there was a baseball team from South Brooklyn called the Greasy Dagos. They've been called that for 120 years. We go to their games. We love them. They're our team.
Right.
Wouldn't you be like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what's going on. But 120 years ago, when Italians came over, essentially, you know, on the bottoms of boats and couldn't get jobs, they were the, you know, the scum. The Italians, the Irish, the Germans, the Russians. As time went on, all of these groups became marginalized at some point and then accepted back into mainstream society because, oh shit, we're white! Everyone realized as other cultures were coming in that were darker, we can still poke the stick. So it's not that all of a sudden Italians are really mad that they're called the Greasy Dagos. It's just that now all of a sudden Italians have a voice and are basically allowed to say, hey, this isn't cool.
I like the fact that you're doing this naked, too.
Don't tell people that I'm standing here naked as a jaybird.
They can't see you.
Well, now they know.
Nice.
Yeah, hearing all
exit.
That.
Nice.
Getting a description on top of that? Wow.
Well, yeah.
Jeez, man. So you want me to serve her to take the show over?
No, you don't have to take the show over. I'll take care of it later.
I just came out of the bath.
All right, get back in the bath.
That's my two cents. So
I got it.
Like, man, shouldn't be appropriating.
You get that kind of knowledge at home? Wow, man.
The Redskins is thoroughly offensive.
Hey, listen,
like, that's
I understand.
Nice.
I understand that they're offensive. That's
Washington is not going to go out of business if they change their mascot.
They're not going to go out of
tomorrow.
Business. They're not going to go out of business
it's
because
bring up more sales because if they're winning. People are going to buy the jerseys.
And then my question is for these sports teams, they get sponsored by, you know, car companies and food,
regardless.
Right. So, and none of these companies are going to say anything because they're making money off of it. So, like when Cadillac is endorsing the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, they're not pulling the ads. The Cadillac symbols all over the United Center, you know? Or when you go to Progressive Field, you see the Indians.
Well,
they got, like, Progressive Field. Right. Progressive, the fucking insurance is paying for that. They're paying for it. So, like, even corporate America is like.
Well, is, that, right, that may be true. Corporate America doesn't care about the little man.
Obviously.
It's not like they're disrespecting
it. That's not the catalyst. That's just another example. Corporate America doesn't care about the little man. They want to put their name on as much stuff as possible. Indians, Redskins, Greasy Dagos, Sloppy Niggas. Like, they don't care what the name... They don't care what the name of your team is.
Oh, my ears are burning now.
They're just out for their dollar.
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I played on SD. Dropped the N word. I'm sorry. Yeah, finish your point.
That's my point. And I hope everyone can kind of understand.
Yeah, I understand.
Right, because there's no reason why they should be called the Indians anymore.
Okay.
Give them a different name. Like, there's no reason why they should be called the Redskins anymore. But people like you want to hold on to that because it's tradition, because it's my team, because you don't think. That it's offensive, and you. Don't
I didn't say it wasn't offensive. I'm just saying, there's not enough people making a big stink about it to have a change. I'm not saying it's
right, but that's what I'm saying. Why should there have to be an influx of people making a big stink about it if you know what's wrong and I know what's wrong?
Listen, I don't know about the other teams, but the Redskins one that has not been that's not a new thing. That is something
they I know. It's the Redskins. The only team that changed their name in the last 25, 30 years has been the college team that we have here locally. The St. John's.
Washington Bullets.
Or the Washington Bullets. Yeah, the Bullets. The Bullets changed their name to the Wizards. The owner didn't like guns. He changed his name. And the Bullets have a story franchise.
Nobody stopped being a...
no one stopped being a Bullets fan.
Exactly.
Right.
And no one stopped being a Red Storm fan when they changed their name either.
Right. But they changed... They were Red
Men.
The Red Men.
Yeah.
That's like calling a woman a cunt.
I understand that. And that's why they changed their name to the Red Storm.
And now they're just the Red.
The Red Storm.
No, the Storm even offended people.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not even a Native American term.
All right, well.
I don't know. I'm just, I don't know.
The Reds.
So animal people are going to come after, like, bull teams?
Animal activists like are come after. You can't name the team the Bulls or the Bears.
No.
Or the Eagles. Eagles are extinct. Almost extinct. They can't call them the Philadelphia Eagles anymore.
There are a lot of cities in this country. there are a lot of cities in this country that kept the name that the Native Americans put in those areas.
I would give the Native Americans a cut of these teams. If I owned the Chicago Blackhawks, right? I would give like the majority shares of the franchise to Native Americans. Let them bank off of it.
Are you crazy?
No, because if
that's bribery.
No, I'm not bribing them.
Of course you are.
No, I'm not bribing them. I'm giving them this. They got taken away so much crap.
I know, but what does my sports franchise have to do with the Native Americans?
If the government gives them fucking free land and gives them hotels and casinos, and that's not bribery?
No, the government... That's called restitution. That's like a completely
Well, I'm restituting. Thing. If I'm an owner, I'm restituting and I'm giving back to these Native Americans. I'm going to make it. Listen.
No, but you're giving it back to them so you can culturally appropriate their name. You're not giving it back to them because you're like, oh my God, we've built our stadium on your sacred land.
Oh, no.
You're saying, hey.
No.
We want to use your name. A derogatory form.
That's been around for a gazillion years.
Again, Greasy Dagos. Like, would you ever be cool with your culture being appropriated like that? Being stereotyped?
I don't know. Am I a fan of the team?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. So in Seattle, there's the Greasy Dagos. Are you cool with ever knowing that that exists?
I guess not.
No, of course not. Of course not.
All right. All right, Liberal Lisa.
Yeah.
You're done. You're good. Thank you. Commentary sponsored by Eterna Chips.
Eterna Chips.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Surfer, you tag team partner. You tagged her in and she made the save. So there you go.
Since this is a wrestling show, so what do you think so far of the so-called shakeup?
The so-called shakeup that they traded eight people for eight people? That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I said at the opening of the show, I said that a draft needed to happen. I said this a couple weeks ago on the show, if you guys remember, that a draft needs to happen after WrestleMania. I was hoping it would come by June. It didn't come by June. Hold on a second. Let's keep it real. The Bullets have very little fans. I don't know. Surfer, Pastor, the Bullets had a storied ABA run, didn't they?
They won a championship.
They won a championship in the ABA.
No, they won a championship in the NBA.
And the NBA, too, didn't
West
they?
West Unsell.
What the heck? So,
Manute Ball.
Manute Ball.
No, but they won. I think they won like 78 or 79 with West Unsell.
They might have. They might have. I don't remember. I don't go that back. I only started following basketball in the
80s. You're thinking of the Sonics or something like that.
No, Sonics won 1-1-2.
78.
Oh, wait. The Sonics won a championship. What's his face was the coach? Lenny Wilkins, right? That's a Brooklyn boy right there.
Yeah, but who won in 79?
I have to look it up. I don't even know. Let me look that up. Hold on a second.
I think it was Washington because, of course, 80 was the Lakers.
Hold on. Let's look it up. That's why we have the interwebs.
81 was the Celtics.
Yeah. You said 1979, Surfer?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Is he 78 or 79? The like Seattle won Clippers? 1 year.
Or no, on Portland. What was that?
No, that was 76. Don't remind me of that.
Okay.
That crushed me as a kid.
Hold on, my internet is a little wacky. Hold on.
I still haven't gotten over that. That's why
79
was the Lakers.
No, Lakers? 80 was the Lakers.
79-80. So 78-79. You're talking about maybe because 79-80 was the Lakers, and George Gervin, the Iceman, won the scoring title for the Spurs. Hold on a minute.
I still hate Bill Walton to this day.
You hate Bill Walton? I hate his ties. I'm not a deadhead. Hold on.
No, I mean, because, you know.
The Supersonics, they beat the Bullets in four games.
Oh, okay. So then who won the year before that?
77?
Yes. Or
Surf, what am I, fucking Howard Cosell? What am I doing over here?
Okay.
Portland won the 76-77 season. They beat blah, 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 blah.
The Sixers.
Yeah. And Pistol Pete was the top scorer for Utah. So, either way, hold on a second.
Washington has, they've never won shit.
Hold on. Let me type in the Bullets and see what I get. Wikipedia. Wiki.
Of course, the Redskins have won their Super Bowls.
They did.
Joe Gibbs, I think, one of the greatest coaches ever.
They won three different
quarterbacks, three titles.
They won one championship in 78.
Who
did?
Bullets.
Yeah.
Damn.
That jersey's dope, too, that throwback jersey. Babe, can you close my door?
I eat crow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Who's going to win it this year?
Oh, it's coming down to Seattle and Cleveland.
Seattle? In the NBA?
Yes.
Seattle's not in the playoffs. Silly goose. San Antonio, you mean?
No. Who does Steph Curry play for?
Steph Curry plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, Golden State. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, man. Server.
We was talking about Seattle. Yeah, Golden. It's going to be Golden State, Cleveland.
I tell you what, Mr. X and I have been texting back and forth the last 2 days, right? And I told him, I said, you know, I know the Celtics have the number one seed, and there's a big beef now in the league that, you know, coaches are resting each players for the last couple of games.
They've always done that.
Right, but people are paying a premium for these tickets and seeing the fucking bench play. That's got to be disheartening, especially here in New York. If I lived in New York and I went to the next to last home game and I didn't get to see Porzingis or Carmelo Anthony or any of the starters, Courtney Lee, I'd be pissed off.
But you are paying to see the team, not the individual player.
But I'm paying to see a quality on the court. I don't want to see the bench. I want to see Carmelo Anthony. I want to see Porzingis. If I went to a Bulls game and I don't see Dwayne Wade or Jimmy Butler, that's going to piss me off. I'm sorry.
At the end of the season, you got to expect that. I mean,
I expect it as a sports fan.
Especially
absolutely.
If your position in the playoff is locked.
Absolutely. I'm a sports fan. I accept that. But if you're a casual fan and you're paying $160 a ticket to go see a team play, and $160, if you take a family of four, it's a mortgage payment, man. Like, if you know, you can't, if you're a casual fan and you go to a game and none of the fucking top stars are playing, that's a smack in the face, man. That's a smack in the face.
What about a month ago, the Cavs and the Heat, a Saturday night primetime game, and the Cavs arrested their whole team, and Wilbon and Steven, as they opened the show, they said, why are we even going to talk about this?
Yeah.
Because for fucking, this is, they were mad. They bitched the whole game about it.
Yeah.
And could you imagine that night? And then the week after that, the Clippers and the Cavs, LeBron arrested in L.A., fucking little kids crying, and he's taking pictures with them and shit. The fuck that? I would have fucking got kicked out.
Yeah.
If I dropped $3,000 on the one time a year the Cavs come to L.A. to play the Clippers, and the motherfuckers are resting? Come on.
Crazy. They do it in football. Nobody complains about it.
I don't know.
What?
Well, see, I would complain. I wouldn't complain because I'm a sport. See, the casual fan.
Who references on football? What do you mean? Like at the final game of the season? Yeah, we
right.
expect that.
That's what I'm talking about.
As a sport. As a sports fan.
Listen, if it's in the middle of the season and they're resting players, yeah, you got a right to complain. But at the end of the season, you got to expect that to happen.
Surfer, you expect it.
Okay, when I was freaking 15 years old, if I would have turned on the fucking game and it was the Bulls and Michael Jordan sitting there in fucking street clothes, no fucking way. That motherfucker would have. None of them guys took breaks. None of them.
No.
Come on.
No, they played a lot of minutes.
Been like, what the fuck is this?
You really can't compare the NBA to the NFL, and I'll tell you why. Like, Surf, if you went to the next, you went to the last home game of New England, and Gronk ain't playing, and Brady's not playing, and
hold on, Gronk don't play any game. He got more excitement at WrestleMania than he.
This is Surfer who lives in below me on the map, drives 7.5 hours to New England to Foxborough to see his beloved Patriots play, and the entire starting offense is not on the field. They're all sitting down.
Game two. You cool with that, Surfer? Game two.
You cool with that?
Game two. Well, they wouldn't do
game
that.
Game two. First quarter. But the Cavs and the whole fucking NBA
listen, if it's the second game of the season, if no one's injured, they're not going to do that.
But okay, it's eighth game, midway through.
No, the NFL is not going to do that. But in the last game of the season, it's going to happen.
But the NBA used to not do that, and now it's a custom.
No, they've always rested players.
They did?
In the NBA. Yes. What they would do.
Come on now.
I'm telling
come
you.
On, Bill.
In the 70s.
They never took my
no, I don't.
In the 70s and 80s, what they used to do, like if it was like the last game and these guys were going to the playoffs, yeah, they'd come out for like a.
But Surfer, they're not benching guys.
The last game, we're talking midseason and earlier.
But you know what though, the difference between benching players in the '80s and benching players now is that they had playoff. Like the other night, the Bulls played the Heat for playoff implications. Like the Heat had won like I don't know X amount of games in a row, and then he went to play
the Nets, and the Nets rested six guys,
and the Nets. Bench their entire starting five, and can you imagine?
Vegas could make a line big enough to cover that shit. They got killed.
And not for nothing, Surfer. In the '80s, you're not paying $1.60, dude. I just went to the NCAA Big East Championship with Matt from the Wizards, and his boy got him tickets from I think he works for Fox Sports or something like that. So he got comped. He hands me the ticket. The ticket is $1.60, bro. $1.60
wow.
to sit mid center, not courtside, but like two, three sections above the court in the new garden. $1.60. You aren't paying that price in 1984, 1985 for Bull Sonics, or for Knicks
yeah,
Celtics.
In most basketball games back in the day, you could just walk up the street and buy a ticket for like $10.
And that's when the teams were good. When the teams were good, you could still buy tickets for that. I remember going to the Knicks game in 94. I went to the last home game in 1994 before the playoffs. They were playing the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll never forget this. And Sean Bradley was their center. Remember that big doofy-looking dude? He became like a Mormon or something like that?
Remember no, he was always a Mormon.
Whatever he was. He was a big, doofy, religious dude.
Yeah, the Sixers drafted him.
This, right.
Like idiots.
This kid had 4 minutes on the court. The Knicks destroyed them. And this is the last home game before Indiana. I went and got tickets to the first game against Indiana with my uncle. He paid a scalper for like $100 a piece. They were initially $60 tickets. This is game one next the week after that against Indiana. I watched the game against the Pacers. And I was sitting, I don't know, section 101 or something like that. It was a section up above the court. So even in 94, 20-something years ago, the tickets weren't that expensive. You know, baseball games now, like, see, baseball, you can't really compare because baseball, you know guys are getting rested. So you know, like, even the casual fan knows that, you know, you're not going to see your favorite pitcher because they rest every 4 or 5 days, or you're not, or your main guy could be injured or something like that, you know. But because there's 162 games in baseball, so it's a little bit different. But resting guys in the 80s compared to resting guys now with playoff implications, that's bullshit.
The problem with a lot of sports is the seasons are too long.
That's shenanigans, bro. You can't tell. Listen, if
the NBA has always been this long since I can remember.
I know, but it's but if they shaved off like 20 games for the season, it would go a whole lot better.
Surfer, check this out. You know my buddy Chris Espo, huge Nets fan. Okay, mm-hmm. The Nets are the worst team in basketball. They have the worst record. Okay. So, and they traded their first round pick to the Celtics. And I don't even think they get in the first round unless they get the lottery, right? So, can you imagine being a Nets fan and going to that game last week that X was just talking about? And like, now you want your team to be spoilers. If my team's not in it, I want them to be a spoiler. Gentlemen, am I right? If your team's not in it, you want them to be a spoiler.
Correct.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, now if I call Chris right now and I ask him, I'm sure he'll give me the same answer that he'll be pissed off because his team didn't put those guys on the court and try to be a spoiler to I think it was who they played at the Bulls or they played the Bulls, right?
In the second quarter, right. Like 50-15.
You know, and I'd be so pissed off. You know, and
fucking just beat down. It was embarrassing.
It's just, for me, it's like, I don't know. Oh, don't bring up the Jordan flu game. That was against Utah, wasn't it? In 97? Oh, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I was in a recording studio with my band. We were making a record, and the engineer was like, oh, Jordan's not playing tonight. I'm like, no, he's going to play tonight. No, Jordan's got the flu. He's not playing. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, he's going to fucking play tonight. He walked out there and dominated them. It's a different game now. I have a hard time watching a lot of the games now.
Agree.
But I was talking to X the other day, and I said to him, my original point was, I said, nobody's talking about Toronto. Nobody, they are a flavorful team. Those kids are fierce, and they could be like what Columbus is in hockey. They could be streaky, and they could knock people around, and they could shoot. They play a little defense. That team is pretty freaking good.
You know, part of the reason why the NBA don't seem like it's worth watching, because we get used to certain teams being good, certain marquee teams.
Right.
And when those teams aren't good, then we assume the rest of the league isn't good.
So if it's safe to say that when the Yankees aren't good in baseball, baseball's bad, or when the Cowboys ain't good in football, the NFL is bad? Like,
no, I couldn't tell you about baseball. Football, no. The league isn't bad because the Cowboys are bad. But when the Cowboys, unfortunately, when they're good and the networks can ride their jocks, then it just hypes up everything else.
But the network, but the TV pumps so much money into football that right. doesn't matter anymore that the Cowboys aren't good, or what if the Patriots weren't good?
It matters to the networks. It matters to the networks. Look,
right.
They're not going to do anything to make the Cowboys good. But last season, they just loved the fact that the Cowboys were 13-3.
You know, and then it's almost like you buy tickets to wrestling. And your kid wants to see a certain wrestler, and that wrestler gets hurt, or he gets traded to fucking SmackDown or something like that, or whatever the case may be.
I mean, well, you know, brought up wrestling. Just like when wrestlers made the transition from Hogan to after Hogan, and, you know, during those 80s, you had a clear set of who was on top and who wasn't. And then when that started to shift and guys started leaving and guys weren't as good as they used to be and they weren't winning as much, and it made the product seem terrible, and in some cases it was. But it was because, you know, you're not used to the next guy being on top because you're used to the last guy being on top.
It was kind of like that a couple of years ago. It's rebounded a lot. It took a while to get these new guys going.
In the early 2000s, too, before Cena, in between Cena and, you know, after the sell of WCW and before Cena got popular, and you had that Kurt Angle era starting up, and you weren't getting Rock as much as you used to, and you weren't getting Triple H as you used to, like, you know what I'm saying? And they took a couple of the WCW guys. They had Booker T there, and they had a couple other guys there. Like, they had Chris Benoit as the champion. Like, you know, I remember Chris Benoit fighting in the Garden, and there was like 1,200 people there. That place holds 18,000 people.
Wow.
You know? So, you know, you can walk down and get another seat, and the security guards wouldn't give a shit. You know? I don't know what the logic is. And I don't know what brought the fans to it. Was it the casual fan? In certain markets too, like New York will always have a decent crowd, but back in the day, back in the early 2000s, didn't happen. And New York's a great crowd. Philly's a great crowd. Chicago's a great crowd. LA is okay, but like there are certain wrestling towns. Like when in the 80s, when you went to the fucking Omni in Atlanta, that was the Southern Madison Square Garden. I just played a promo from the Omni with the Road Warriors from Georgia, right? That's what I opened the show with. And I thought about the Omni, and I said, you know, there are certain places that just draw wrestling, okay? And when Nitro would go to all these small towns, we're in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and people laugh at that, but when Cedar Rapids, when Nitro came to town, the entire town of Cedar Rapids went to go see fucking Nitro.
Yeah, because it's not like Cedar Rapids
got out.
Right. And
it's not like they got a pro sport. To
they don't. They have minor league baseball there. They have minor league baseball there. When you talk to Grooms, the closest football team is 3 hours away in Minnesota.
Right. So wrestling was an event that they didn't get. Right.
You're right. Absolutely. Hold on one second, man. I'm going to close this door because I'm about to lose my fucking mind. Anyway.
You know, if like WWE doesn't come to New York in a year, well, you got other sports to occupy yourself.
Yeah, so do you guys.
Yeah.
And so does X. X has a whole his state is huge. They got college, we don't have college here. And when we do, it's like it's either basketball. We don't have a college football team here. There's no college culture team. There's no college culture here for teams in terms of football.
So you don't own Syracuse?
No. Syracuse
or
is
Rutgers.
Syracuse is 8 hours.
Rutgers is Jersey.
But yeah, Syracuse is about 9 hours away from here. Literally 9 hours away. It's on the tip of the border. It's right by Canada. And Rutgers is basically 20 minutes from my house now, but it's in Jersey, like Surfer said. So like there's no New York team. Like you know what I'm saying? Like, I only rooted for the Bulldogs in Georgia because of Herschel Walker. I don't really don't have a college football team. You know,
talk about Beaston when he ran the ball in college.
Hey, Nick German suplex checking in. Speaking of the Redskins, Chris is a huge Redskins fan. Well, he lives down there, man. It's hard, man. It's hard for me as a sports fan to give up traditions. I'm sorry. It's, you know. And part of that for me is when franchises move. I had to talk about this at work the other day because I had a friend. My friend didn't know that there were two different hockey teams in Atlanta, right? And I said they just can't hold on to a hockey team, or you know, or like Tampa Bay is threatening to leave if they don't get the new stadium in Tampa. And I said, fuck it, go down to Montreal. Bring back the Expos and put them in the American League East. You know, I missed certain rivalries, man. I missed the Expos. You know, I used to love the Quebec Nordiques when they played all those divisions. When they played Ottawa and they played, you know, Winnipeg and they played all the Canadiens and Toronto. You know, it was fun. I miss all the teams that aren't here anymore, you know. It's hard for me to decipher University of Buffalo. No, dude, that's Buffalo is all the way up by Niagara Falls, man. It's by Canada. New York's
I've never accepted the new team, the Tampa Bays. And I mean, I know they're there, but I just never, but just iffy to me.
kind of like the Carolina Panthers and Jacksonville Jaguars and just
weird. Just hard. Houston yeah. Texans, weird. It's weird. It's weird that they yes. – and it's like now it's funny because the Braves were never a rival to the Mets until they moved to the East. They were always – when we were kids, we – and all of us are around the same age right now on the phone, right? The National League West, the Braves were in the National League West with San Diego, San Francisco, Cincinnati. Like, those were all Western Division teams. Then they added the two playoff teams for the wild card, and it fucked everything up. Now the Braves became a rival, and I hate them. Back in the day, my rivals were Philadelphia, Chicago Cubs, St. Louis Cardinals. Those were all rivals to me when I was a kid.
When I was a Philly fan as a kid, the only team I hated was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was a rival. You know what? And again,
by the time the Mets got good in the '80s, the Phillies weren't worth following.
Nick German says, "I don't find it offensive, but I'm all in for the Redskins changing their name. Do you realize the amount of money they will make in merchandise sales? Absolutely, but it doesn't. The problem is, though, Chris, is that they're still going to sell Redskin jerseys. Right now, people still buy that stuff. People still buy hats and shirts.
It's making it seem like Toby changing his number or some shit. I mean, no, there would be a public outcry.
Yeah.
Other half compared to the other half, it would be an outcry. I can never see this happening.
It's like the Cubs changing their name. You know what I'm saying? After 109 years, 110 years.
Yeah, it's just really.
I don't know.
Like, no, after the Cubs won a pennant, if they changed their name, nobody would get upset.
You think so?
No, I mean, like when they had those years of holding on to the pain and the Cubs never winning. But if they came out and said, look.
They wouldn't even consider it.
I know they won't, but so if they came out and said, look, we won, we going in a new direction, we starting a new tradition of winning, and here's our new name and logo. You then hey, already dude, deliver a smoking? Championship, so it could happen. I mean, seriously. Okay, they coming off a World Series championship, so you know their ticket's going to be hot in that town. I mean, it's already the fan base already support the Cubs anyway. So they're not going to stop going because of a new name.
No, Pastor. The University of the United States is not in New York. Coming to America, there was the University. What university do you go to?
This is the University of Manhattan, right?
No, there isn't.
There isn't? I thought there was.
No, there isn't. There isn't. Did the New York
City? The New York Mets won a World Series this year. You'd be cool next year if they just changed their name to like the New York Tin Cans.
What is the closest college in New York?
What sport?
Any sport.
Well, the Big East is here. You have St. John's.
Georgetown.
You have Georgetown is down in D.C. You have
Villanova for New York City.
In New York City,
all the boroughs in New York.
In college, you have St. John's, and that's Division One, I believe, and everything else is like Division Two, Division Three. You have Pace University has a team that like Division Three, Long Island University. They're a Division Two, I believe. There's no Division One teams out here except for St. John's.
It's New York's own.
Kind of sad for that market.
Yeah,
it's New York's own fault because you used to have all the baseball teams.
We have the tri-state area, so we New York has three hockey teams, if you count Buffalo. Okay, shout out to Axel Foley, by the way. He's a big he's up in Buffalo. He's a Leafs fan though. But we have baseball, obviously, but we have the tri-state area, so you know we have all these. Like Jersey is a rival with hockey, you know. It's funny because it's hysterical. When owners threaten the city, it's like, if you don't build us a stadium, we're leaving. Like, I remember George Steinbrenner threatened to move the Yankees to Newark if they didn't build them that new stadium a couple of years ago. And I'm like, how are you going to move a team that's 100-something years old, 27 championships, and you're going to move them to fucking Newark? And Mr. X, you've been in Newark, so Can you imagine? Can you imagine the greatest sports franchise, the most expensive sports franchise in the world?
They only have the infrastructure. I'm saying it wrong, but they don't have the space to build a stadium.
They
have that much
do,
coming in,
but they
coming
do.
In out of it.
Hey, when the Columbus Clippers was his Triple A team, Steinbrenner's Triple A team, it was in the ghetto. I mean, it was in the shell.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, our old owner for the Sixers, Harold Katz, threatened to move the Sixers to Camden.
To Camden, and Camden is like the South Bronx with a waterfront. You know, so it's scary what they'll do. I told my it's funny because you asked me if the Mets change their name. I'd probably still root for the Mets, but if the Mets moved, I probably wouldn't root for them anymore.
Hey, if a city can't afford to build a new stadium and the owner don't want to foot the bill, then let them leave. I mean,
I have the Mets tattooed on me. I have that NY on my arm, bro. I bleed orange. I bled orange and blue, literally. That's my fucking team. But if they don't
care for you enough.
Right,
don't want to stay in New York.
Then I'm a Dodger fan, and probably I'll become a Dodger fan because
I will never get used to the Las Vegas Raiders. I will never.
That's a terrible thing too, man. I was talking to Sugar Shane about that. I said, can you imagine? And even the Chargers are moving. They moved to Los Angeles. 55, 60 years of a fan base. Moving like that?
But the Raiders is notorious for
doing that. Change the fucking logo.
Come on.
But sir, for moving from Oakland to Los Angeles isn't that bad because you're in the same state?
It's still, you still put your middle finger up to one city.
Well, yeah, San Diego. San Diego's getting it. San Diego's getting the middle finger right now, too. They're going to L.A. The Rams. Look at the Rams, dude. The Rams.
San Diego.
Beautiful San Diego. How the hell that happened?
Listen,
that's the dream fucking job, the dream place.
San Diego is a city. I don't think they're going to lose sleep over losing their football team. Yeah, some fans, of course, it's going to hurt. But you live in fucking San Diego. You're not worried about sitting in a stadium.
Surfer, you're bugging, man. They had one of the best attendances in the NFL. No matter how bad that team is, they pack that stadium all the time.
What?
What football team
doesn't have good attendance?
Jacksonville. Jacksonville.
Look what they're in Jacksonville.
What does that mean, though? Jacksonville's a huge town. It's a huge town in North Florida. It's massive, Jacksonville.
Yeah, but there's so many other sports teams you can hook yourself onto when you live in Florida.
But you can hook up to teams too in California.
Like they knew from the start that Jacksonville was not the place to put a pro football team.
Yeah, well they're still there, dude. They're still
there.
And
their pastor's a big Rams fan, but I'm happy with the Los Angeles Rams back where the fuck they should be.
It's tradition.
Now if the Cardinals go back to St. Louis, everything's good.
Still, the Raiders, they'll move on you all the time. They'll move out of Las Vegas as soon as they can when they don't like that stadium no more.
No, they're not going to fucking move out of that gold mine. Fuck no.
And you don't really know if Las Vegas can hold a football crowd like that. Because you go to Las Vegas, you want to gamble. You don't worry about sitting in a football state. That could be wrong.
Don't you remember the XFL opener that fucking packed out?
Yeah, those stadiums wasn't packed.
Yo, Pastor Dell sent me a message on Facebook. He's got a Sam Bradford jersey and hat, never worn.
The UFL.
I love that hat, Pastor. If you're not going to wear it, you can send it to 258. No.
The USL was a popular league, and they couldn't fill all these stadiums.
I just talked to my wife tonight, actually, about I'm thinking about getting a Stratomatic football set with the USFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pick it up. It comes with like six or eight teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Donald Trump used to own a football team?
Mr. X, Pastor said he's not speaking to you no more because the Rams are back in Los Angeles. He's joking, obviously, because Pastor Dell is.
The Rams have no loyalty to their city. I mean, they listen. They left L.A. with St. Louis, and then the first chance they got, they left St. Louis.
Right, because that's another city that doesn't – that see, St. Louis and Paso will agree to this. There are certain cities that are just dedicated to basically one sport in terms of fandom. Like here, it's all – at one point, it was all about the Yankees. Nobody cared about the Mets or the Rangers or the Knicks or the Islanders or the Met. Nobody – it was all, it's all the Yankees, the Jets, the Giants. That's another thing too. Like that's why I became – that's reason number two why I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. Because I think it's a disgrace that I have to drive to New Jersey to see a New York team play. I think there's enough real estate in this state to put a. They built soccer stadiums all over the place now. You know, they built two new stadiums for the Mets and the Yankees. You mean to tell me you couldn't give the Jets or the Giants a stadium? That's insane. That your teams, not only do they play in New Jersey, but they share a building. Like, that's insane. I would never – I can't see that, you know. If my Vikings moved, I'm not rooting for them anymore. Sorry. It's not going to happen. When the Expos moved to Washington, no one rooted for the Nationals except for my buddy Butch. You know, he's a huge Nationals fan because he stuck with his team. I don't know why, but I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
It would have been like Browns fan rooting for the Ravens. Fuck no, they hated them. Right. I mean, many Browns fans here, they hated the fucking Ravens. They wanted to kill Modell.
Yeah.
Kill them.
Did it in the middle of the night, too. Snuck out and shit.
No, that, you're thinking of...
That was the Colts.
Oh, the Colts, I'm sorry.
Colts. They
yeah.
snuck out in the middle
they
of the
They snuck
night.
Out in the middle of the night, went to Indianapolis. There's so many... This, I guess, you know, being a sports fan... A diehard sports fan. There's so many things that I'm ignorant to, like the whole Indian thing. I'm ignorant to it because I'm all about tradition. Okay,
correct. And, I agree on that statement.
And my wife she's a bleeding heart liberal. God bless her. You know, she came in here and she set me straight. She always does. But she at least she knows that I'm sincere. I'm not trying to take away from the fact that. You know, these people were oppressed and that shit got out of hand, you know. I'm just a traditionalist, you know, and I can't – and I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say – if they named a team like the D.C. Dagos, you know, or something like that. If I was a – you know what I'm saying? Or the Columbus Coloreds, you know, that'd be fucked up, and you can't say your team would – you can't root for that team. And it's just morally – it puts the like I you know I don't know if I'd feel bad though if I was a Cleveland Indians fan. I don't know. I guess I don't know if I would. I would feel bad for the people who were oppressed and stuff like that, but people don't look at that like that, you know. I think corporate America is to blame too, cuz they just keep pumping money into these franchises especially these teams, you know, there's sponsors everywhere. You know how much money the NFL generates? Billions of dollars. Not millions, billions of dollars the NFL generates. Billions.
Well, some teams do that by themselves.
Yeah, like the Cowboys and the Yankees. And the
I'm talking about football teams.
Oh, well, then the Cowboys. The Cowboys will make money over hand and foot because they're, quote-unquote, America's team, you know?
New England makes a lot, you know, they generate a lot of money. San Fran used to at one time when it was on top.
Yeah. So the Raiders will, that's why they can, that's why there's this crazy owner, his son, Al Davis' son, can move the team to Vegas because they make money over hand and foot. They you know, and you know who makes that money for them? The fans, man. And that's who always gets screwed in the end, the fans. The fans will always get it in the end, no matter how you slice
you
it.
You couldn't imagine the Rooney family moving the Steelers from Pittsburgh.
No.
No.
No, because the Rooney family became a staple in the league and set the standard for the league. Like, they you know, them and the Maras, okay? And I don't dislike the New York Football Giants, I don't. But the Maras... And the Rooneys and the Steinbrenners of the world, and as much as I don't like the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, they represent a part of the league. Yeah, they set the standard of ownership of these teams, and they have their franchises are storied.
They've helped build the leagues, even though they own the teams in the league.
Yeah, it's like every
the rules and things like that. Also,
it's funny. I remember George Steinbrenner saying something like he made a quote like when they were winning championships in the '90s. He made a quote like I don't know if it's verbatim, but he goes, "I didn't invent free agency; I perfected it." And people were like, "Oh, well, you're buying your championships." Well, yeah, in essence, you are, but you're buying players for your team. It's not like a thing where it turns out – it's not like wrestling, you know, where wrestlers – I know there's the list that came out and the guy's making money and, you know, when your part-timer makes more money than the entire roster, which was – that happened last year. Brock Lesnar made more money than Cena. He made more money than Roman Reigns, than Seth Rollins, than Triple H. He made more money than The Undertaker. He made more money than all of them. And he worked, eight times last year, you know. So I think,
good for him.
Yeah, well, God bless him because he negotiated that contract very well.
Oh shit!
Right. So, but you know, these owners like Vince McMahon set the standard. He stuck it out, and he overcame the biggest obstacle, which was himself. Between buying his competition, between reinventing the game when he was losing the game, like you set the standard. These NFL owners and baseball owners set the standard of how things should be. You know, so money is generated now from TV. That's where most of the money comes from. That's why baseball. Teams have their own networks now, like their team networks. You could watch the Mets on SNY. You could watch the Yankees on YES. You could watch the Phillies on whatever. You could watch the Expos on – I'm not Expos. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the Expos a lot. You could watch the Nationals and the Orioles on MASN. NESN owns New England. You know, so you – with the Red Sox, you can, there's – the money is generated from all these – network affiliates, they're nobody's going to make money now. But if it wasn't for these owners setting the tone, that would have never happened. None of this would have happened. The league had to stand up to something and set a precedent, and that's what happened. And I'm a firm believer in that, you know. And some owners just batshit crazy, and they move their team because they don't get a stadium or whatever it is, and they reap the benefits of these state-of-the-art. Look, the Raiders are going to get a state-of-the-art billion-dollar fucking stadium in Las Vegas. Las Vegas has a hockey team now with a 13,000-seat arena that just got built last year. You know, they'll sell out the first couple of seasons, but if they suck, it's a tourist town. That's a tourist town. They don't pack out play. South Florida, the Marlins have won two championships and they're 20 years old and they keep having fire sales when they win championships. When the Miami Heat was winning championships, they couldn't even pack the state. They couldn't pack the arena. When the Florida Panthers went to the Stanley Cup Finals in the late 90s, they couldn't pack the place. And these are teams in your town winning championships or going for championships.
How could a Raiders fan next year go and support the team still playing in Los Angeles for, what, another year?
I don't know, man. That's at the Cowboys moving to California. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a Cowboy.
But then playing in Dallas another year because the Raiders are not moving to the
– No, they're playing three more seasons. They're playing two more seasons.
How could – if we were living in California, if we were diehard Raider fans, how the fuck – I would be like, I ain't going to know. Fuck them. I'm not going no more. Fuck them.
Could you imagine? You know what's going to happen? And I hope this happens. I hope the Raiders win the championship between now and 2019.
They signed Marshawn Lynch today.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
it's not final. They can work out a trade.
Yeah. They got him, though. It's not.
They got him.
They don't have to give anything substantial back to Seattle for that. That's because he retired. Here's my thing, though. You know, And you're absolutely right. You know, they win a chance. I hope they win a championship. And I hope the league.
I do too. I hope they win fucking back to back.
I hope they. Yeah.
I hope they.
I hope they have an amazing young crew. They got that kid Cooper. They got the tight end. Crabtree. They got Cooper. Now they have who's their back now? The Vikings just took their back. I don't know who their back is now. But anyway, it doesn't matter. They can contend is my point.
Definitely. They got a good.
Yeah, and I hope they win a championship for that city, because when 81-year-old John Madden comes on TV, and he never goes on TV anymore. When he comes on TV last week and says that it's a shame that they're moving, you know.
Oh, did he? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, people are.
I'll have to check that on YouTube.
A lot of people are advocating for that. You know, I think there's certain things. You know, and listen, Al Davis. Surfer said it before. Al Davis has moved them from L.A. to Oakland. You know, so it's north and south of California. But I get it. There's a transitional period too. You know, and I think every.
You won titles in both of those towns, also.
Yeah. And, like, when the Cleveland Browns lost their franchise, like, I was baffled. They have a storied franchise, not in the last 20 years, but they go all the way back to the AFL also. You know, I don't understand these cities. You know, the money didn't be there. We don't want to pay for it. But you don't have to anymore. Corporate's going to pay for it. The owners are going to put up money for it. They're going to pay for it. Like, you know, certain teams won't move out of certain buildings. For example, the Dodgers will probably never leave Shea Ravine. Ever. Ever. The Orioles will probably never leave Camden Yards now. You know, there's certain teams. The Yankees will never leave Yankee Stadium, I don't think. They'll get new stadiums built on the same grounds because they're stupid, but
correct.
They won't leave New York. I don't think the Mets.
Reds aren't going anywhere. I don't think Reds will never leave.
The Reds will never leave. They'll get new stadiums. There are certain teams that probably will never leave.
Cleveland's never leaving.
No. The White Sox, the Cubs, they draw. You know, the Mets on their bad years draw 2 million people. Because it's a big market.
Now, Diamondbacks and Marlins, they're talking them moving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get there.
Yeah, no. But, you know, when the Cardinals moved, when the St. Louis Cardinals moved to Arizona, it was because of a stadium. That's it.
Was it?
Yeah. They didn't move because of the weather. They played in a dome.
Where did they play at again? What was the name of that dome? St. Louis?
The RCA Dome or something like that? The pastor would know. I forget the name where the Cardinals played. I forget the name of the but you know, the Vikings will probably never leave. You know, they you know, the Packers, the town owns the team.
The Packers are in touch.
Right. The town owns the team. The town.
More cities own their football franchise.
I would love that.
That we can name a lot of teams that are untouchable, but it's kind of like. So being a fan of these teams that aren't untouchable, it's like, fuck, it's a shady franchise, so to speak. You know?
I mean, that's what some of these cities should do. I'd be like, look, you want me to foot the bill for a new stadium? Well, I want a piece of the franchise so we can guarantee that you're not going nowhere and that you know, we get something back on our investment, because right now cities and states are kicking up billions of dollars so these owners can have luxury box seats, and they raking all the money, and then on top of that get tax breaks to not have to pay anything on top of that. And then they tell you, oh, you'll get more revenue, it'll generate more revenue for the city. It doesn't in a lot of cases.
I wish I can live in a town that would own a team. I would love to live in a small town. I've outgrown this whole city thing. But how cool would that be if you can own a piece of the team that you root for? you know, I think it's even cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, like when and it's not like when
a real contributor to the city.
Yeah.
Now St. Louis got another. I mean, look at Pastor. He's been jacked for two fucking teams now.
Yeah.
The Cardinals and now the Rams. It's
yeah.
Like, if they, how could they take? How could fans, little in the city, take on another NFL team with not the support if it might leave again? That's whatever. Has any other city lost two teams? Same sport.
Atlanta. They lost two hockey teams.
Yeah, two hockey teams.
They lost the Flames and they lost the Thrashers.
Right. Yeah, you said that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
LA lost two teams.
LA lost two teams.
They lost the Rams. They lost the
Raiders. Yeah. Same city. Same city.
Yeah, but the Raiders were never original there. So,
but still.
I know. Yep, that's an example.
Yeah, but you see the, I don't know. It's, at least with the bigger markets, they won't lose the teams, you know. Like Oakland is not a big market, and they have the worst, probably next to Tampa, they have the worst stadium in baseball. It's all beat up. It's broken down. They can't get a new stadium. The city won't pay for it. Hence why the Raiders are leaving.
Okay, but
the A's would never leave.
Do the Raiders not make enough money to build their own stadium or at least put up most of the money?
They do, but now that becomes politics because the owner is like, well, fuck this. If the city wants me, they're going to build me a team. And that's where Oakland is now. They're like, if the city likes me, they're going to build a team. I don't think the A's are untouchable. And that's sad, too, because they have a huge fan base and they have a storied franchise.
What's California have? Four teams?
Baseball?
Yeah.
They have the Dodgers, the Angels.
San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco, San Diego.
Four, yeah.
Yeah.
And half of them.
Oakland is five. Oakland's five. So.
Wow.
They got five teams.
Wow.
They have five teams.
And most of them used to be in New York and Philly.
Yeah. Yeah, all those teams came out west because they wouldn't. The Dodgers, you talk to anybody that's two generations before me, that's why half of them are Mets fans because they left. The Brooklyn Dodgers went up and left in 56. Like, ah, screw this. You're not going to build me a stadium? Now you know what Ebbets Field is now? It's a fucking project building.
And the Giants left.
The Giants left.
The A's left.
You know?
Good mix for California fan. National League, American League teams.
Yeah.
Wow. They got a hell of a
summer. They got a hell of a market.
Summer.
Yeah, they got a hell of a market out there. That's my goal, man. My goal one day is to make it out to Cali and just do a whole month or not a month or maybe a week or two and to see all the teams. You know, just to see all the teams.
That'd be
pretty badass.
Bucket list.
But the Raiders have to be one of the biggest money makers in football.
They are, sir, bro.
And hold a city hostage, they probably can't afford to build a stadium that costs $1 billion. I mean, hey, you can choose to root for them on TV, or you can just find another team, or you can just go outside and play.
I guess.
I mean, listen, we all love sports, but some people got to get over it. It's not the end of the world when your sports team leaves or they go away or.
See, well, here's the thing. Sports is my world. Outside of my family, obviously, my profession, sports is my everything. My life revolves around reading about it, talking about it, watching it, listening to it, ever since I'm 8 years old. So for me, yeah, it's a big deal. If my team moves, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. Because it's something I look forward to every single year for whatever team. Like if the Rangers moved, if the Mets moved, if the Vikings moved, I'd be heartbroken. I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm not dedicated to basketball like I am with the other sports. I'm a Knicks fan. I hate the Knicks right now because of obvious reasons.
Because they have the Daniel Snyder of the NBA owners.
Yes, they have the Dolans, exactly. And what's weird is the Dolans own the Rangers too, and the Rangers are treated totally differently because they have better management. So you figure that out. So, but that's another story. I'll save that for Will Morgan's show. Let him fucking help me figure out how the Knicks are going to get fixed.
You guys think wrestling's headed good for the summer? Or are they going to be in cruise control to SummerSlam? What do you think?
Well, we talked about this. You and I talked about this briefly, too. And we talked about, you know, your next visit here and how SummerSlam is going to be the doer. I mean, they have enough time now. And now with the brand split, enough pay-per-view, unfortunately. Now that's a little bit watered down. But now you have four more pay-per-views to build stories. So, you know, there's no excuse now. It ain't like, oh, there's only Raw, and there's only Raw pay-per-views, and SmackDown is... No, they have their own pay-per-views, they have their own shows... The brand is split. They swap talent. Now there's no excuses. It should be the strongest part. It should be between now and the end of August, hands down.
The talent swap. The fucking I'm sitting there and they bring out Dean Ambrose and what a major wow. And I'm like the guy in the dark match at WrestleMania is a major
right.
Brand fucking ruined him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you and I feel the same way about Dean Ambrose. I'm not a Dean Ambrose guy. I don't hate him. I don't think he's, you know, they compare him to Piper a lot, which bothers me. I know. They compare him to Piper, and it's like I don't understand. Maybe because he's the lunatic fringe.
Terry Funk, what? Like what?
I can't get it. I don't see it. Surfer, do you see a comparison between him and Piper?
Who and Piper?
Dean Ambrose.
A little bit for the craziness, but Ambrose got a long way to go before he's Piper.
Can he cut a promo?
The girl was crazy. I mean, what the fuck?
Can he cut a promo like Piper?
No, not even in the same
park.
Exactly.
And that ain't to knock Dean Ambrose. I'm just come on, just really.
Listen, dude, just, you ain't got to sell it to me, brother. You know I agree with you. I feel like they put. I feel like because a lot of these guys can't cut promos, and they're either they're good promo cutters and they're bad in the ring, or vice versa. I think that you know when Vince wants these announcers to sell these guys. I think he wants to do the Heyman thing, hide the negatives and expose the positives. No, but no one's Paul Heyman. Like Heyman did it, and he was a genius. JBL's not going to do it. Byron Saxon's not going to do it. Corey Graves is cool, but he ain't going to do it. Michael Cole is not going to do it. Jim Ross might be able to do it if he ever came back. There's certain guys that could sell it to me. No one can sell Dean Ambrose to me. I'm sorry, no one. And it's not. I mean, I saw his stuff in the Indies. He was crazy doing the fucking Staples matches and all the combat zone wrestling stuff. But that doesn't translate to coming to WWE and cleaning up, getting a bad haircut, and wearing a wife beater and jeans. You know, it's not. You know, Terry Funk lived the gimmick. Roddy Piper lived his gimmick. Those guys got away with it. Dean Ambrose is not walking around down. He lives in Vegas now. He's a Ohio boy, isn't he? And
yeah,
he's from Cincinnati. He's not walking the streets of Vegas with a wife beater on and a bad haircut and jeans, looking for a fist fight. You know, where the other guys did because they lived the gimmick.
Right.
Different time.
When's Kurt Angle get? Do you think they're going to hold him out for Mania or SummerSlam?
I don't see. The last I read, Angle cannot wrestle right now. I think he's.
He shouldn't re-wrestle. I mean, he's done.
I agree.
He wrestled just a couple months ago.
He did. He did, but I heard he can't wrestle. Like he's not supposed to wrestle. Like
his neck. He should be like walking around with a halo. I mean, like.
But he'll be back in the ring though.
I heard him. What podcast was he on? Was it Y2J recently? He's gonna wrestle again. Basically, you can hear he's not like Austin. No, he's He's here to wrestle.
Yeah. I told Choppy he was in the cover for Foley, and I called that. Because Foley went out for surgery and Kurt Angle had to do something when they brought him back. They weren't bringing Kurt Angle back just to be in the Hall of Fame. Not happening. So he's definitely going to wrestle. I think it'll be by SummerSlam. And it'll probably be
him, Brock.
Oh, if for the title?
I just think he would bring the breast out of Brock. I think Brock, I mean, that's the alpha male. Olympic gold medalist. I've got that on you, bitch. You know what I mean?
No, it makes perfect sense.
It's a huge, I think it's a huge, but I'm like, will they try to save that for a Mania matchup, or would they give us that for SummerSlam?
Nick's saying that they're going to do it at Survivor Series and for Mania.
No, fuck Survivor. They got to bring it. That's a SummerSlam or Mania. No way would they give us that.
Did they give Kurt Angle the same deal that they gave Goldberg, where they promised him the belt and they gave him the whole? I'm sure Goldberg's gonna get a Hall of Fame nod now. You know,
I think Goldberg's gonna pop back up somehow. I think he's got an itch. I think he keeps tweeting he's next and all this shit.
Oh boy!
I just think he's gonna pop back up. Unfortunately,
I don't know. And Mr. X, they're saying in the chat room, he says, Mr. X, Angle can't take a trip to Suplex City with that neck. I don't know.
He won a gold medal with a fucking broken neck. I don't doubt for Angle ever. I know you got to get cleared and all this shit now, but
he looks good.
I think he looks good, too. And I think he's more on a probation period right now with them, but they're still filling this guy out. I mean, there was a lot of bad blood, whether they'd want to admit that or not, but we'll see. I mean, I think it would be incredible, him and Brock going at it.
Be a nice throwback.
Remember, they got a dance partner for Brock. Who the hell else do they have left for him?
Well, I think because he's not in UFC anymore, we're probably going to see him a lot more, which is cool. That's why they put the belt back on him. I don't think they would put the belt back on him if they knew he was going to go bounce and go play UFC again. He was suspended from UFC for like 2 years for whatever substance he was taking.
He's done that. He's done that. He proved his point to himself on that. He's not. He's in cruise control, ready to just make money and wrestle at this point, I think. But besides Angle and Braun Strowman, who they really now? Why I think Styles. Of course, that's intriguing. I think Styles could work with fucking him up.
Yeah.
No, when they always get a Shawn, what the fuck? Styles doesn't have the Shawn Michaels and Flair. I see Styles on their level, and I never really watched AJ Styles for the last couple of years. That motherfucker is badass. I mean, he is a working machine, I'm very impressed with that guy. Very impressed.
Pastor sending me pictures of the old football stadium from St. Louis.
Well, I have to call it a night.
All right, Surfer. Thanks for hanging out with us, though. Much appreciated.
No problem. I mean, even though I brought up a touchy subject, glad to be back and glad I could get on and, you know, support your show, listening and talking. And
It's cool that you're back, because I'm kind of spoiled with listening to everybody on the air, and then you not being around. And this is no bullshit. I'm breaking the fourth wall here, but it's...
Well, Sunday, I probably won't do a long show unless I get calls, because I haven't been keeping up with a lot of news. So I'm just going to go give some reviews on a couple of things, and then...
All right, cool.
You know.
Well, it's good to have you back regardless, man, whether you do your show or not, you know? So it's good to have you back. It's fun to hear you. But I spoke to you behind the scenes. I talked to you, but it's not the same. It's not, you know, we miss you around here. So, but
I heard your boy have been acting up.
Yeah, he's been acting a fool, but it is what it is. I don't want to comment on it.
I don't know what exactly went on. It's just that.
Yeah, we'll talk behind the scenes. I don't want to put shit on the air and stuff like that. It's just a lot of stuff behind the scenes going on right now that I'm not happy with. But again, it's, we'll save it for off the air. It's not, it's, the public doesn't have to know any of the nonsense. So, but anyway, thanks for calling in. Much appreciated.
All right. Good night. Sam, why am I blanking on your name? Sorry.
Mr. X.
Yeah, Mr. X.
Castle Slam champion.
Castle Slam champion. Right. That's right. Later, Surfer.
All right. Good night.
The geriatric is back. Thank God. Anyway. But, yeah, man. I you know, it'd be a nice book for him and Brock to go at it again for the title. You know, it'd be cool. Other than that, I don't know where they're going to go with it, though. But they're going to have to find dance partners for Brock because he's going to be around a lot longer, basically.
And his style, and with his style, it's just compelling getting the dance partner with him. I mean, I it still blows my mind. And I was sitting next to you in the first one, how they got three out of him and Goldberg.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That lasted a total of about 6 fucking minutes.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that. We talked about that. And you know what's funny, too? Is that, you know, Brock is a hybrid. He used to be a hybrid. He would go to the air, and his stuff with Eddie Guerrero was great. His stuff with Angle was good. Like, Brock Lesnar has had some good matches, man. The problem is that, you know, the older he got, his work rate isn't as good as it was. You know, and that's because the dude lost a third of his intestines. He lost a bunch of weight, and he's just a reserved guy now. You know, he's not really a rah-rah guy either. He's not really a pro wrestling enthusiast. He's basically doing for a paycheck because he did it back in the day. And he's making a ton of money too doing it. I like him. Because he sold well, and when
he sold very well,
right?
For people to say he does not respect the business, that's complete bullshit.
Oh yeah, no, I never said that. I just said that I know he's. I've heard him say that, you know, he's just here to make money, and he's.
Oh yeah.
He told Austin that too on his podcast. Yeah. I think I think he respects the business because if he didn't. He wouldn't be in the position he is now. See that stuff they take seriously. If you don't respect the game that you're in, you're not gonna get top billing. And he gets top billing. People still want to see him wrestle. You know?
Yeah, and look at Goldberg. I think he kind of redeemed himself. Showing, I watched that after Raw segment when he came out and. I think he respects wrestling a lot more than people, and maybe he respects it even more than he thought he did at this point. You know what I mean? He didn't realize how much that he did respect the business.
Yeah,
because I think he was the alpha. I think he was a little still maybe butthurt if he ever gonna fail. Got thrown into the mix. Next thing you know, he's wrestling Hulk Hogan. He's fucking the world heavyweight champion. He didn't ask for any of that shit. That was Kevin Sullivan, like, look, this is this, you're doing this. It wasn't like this was his goal. But this time around, I think he showed a lot more that he really respected the business. What do you think of the whole Justin Roberts shit that I hear about on every podcast I listen to?
Oh, you mean him with the texting and all that?
The whole JBO on the...
Oh, the bully thing? I was going to wait for Choppy. To get with this, but I guess since you brought it up, I'll so apparently Mauro Ranallo, the guy from Canada, the guy who was doing the SmackDown commentary, he suffers from bipolar, he's depressed, and he's you know, he's got a bunch of psychological issues going on apparently. And apparently he was picked on a lot by JBL. But now you know, Edge's book came out. And there was stuff about that in there, and now guys are coming out of the woodwork saying that, you know, JBL's this big bully. He's a big hazer. He plays pranks and shit. But then people are like, well, you know, Mauro Ranallo only did it because he was, you know, he was doing it because to get attention. He didn't say it before because he had a job. Now that he quit, basically, he's not coming back. Oh, JBL picked on me, which I think is bullshit. I don't know. It's a lot of it's all internet bully shit, you know? A lot of it is.
But this is JBL. JBL's always been a river, so it's not like as the Justin Roberts. I've heard him a few times, and I just find it pathetic. I'm like, who are you, for one? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning bullying at all or any of that type of shit at all, but I'm just like, if you had a problem with it, why didn't you confront him in some way or just, I don't even know if that is just like, I mean, Xbox is just shitting people's meals and they're throwing JBL under the bus like he's the devil, this and that. And I just think it's just like, I think Justin Roberts is like a pussy. I mean, just in a way also. It's just kind of like, and I'm not condoning bullying, but I'm just like the way they're coming about it. It's just the way they're handling it is just like fucking wow. Just wow.
It's like, it doesn't make you look good that you're doing that after all the stuff happened. It's like my wife said before, people have a platform now, they have an outlet. You know? He's been probably doing this for the last 20 years, and now everybody and their mother is on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all this other shit, and now they can put this guy on blast. I was never a big JBL guy anyway.
He was the guy that knocked JBL out, that he was bullying or hazing.
Was it Bart Gunn?
Joey Styles.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and then I knew, listen, I was there the night that when they had the one night stand with ECW.
Lord Manny.
Yes, I was there for that. Okay, and wow. I showed you. I didn't show you my ticket stub. I think I showed you. I have the laminate. I'm gonna text you with it. I was there for that. Clearly, he's on his own fucking planet. Clearly, the way he talks to people, like on air, you could tell. That's not all an act. You could tell he's an asshole. I'm not defending him, or I'm not defending Justin Roberts at all. I'm just saying, like, I could just tell that he's an asshole.
Oh, we know he's an asshole.
You watch him on that fucking Fox News thing. A couple of Sundays, I found myself watching him because he does the whole stock thing. And he was on that funny because he's like a millionaire now because he invested.
Trump like thanked him on a tweet or something.
Yeah.
Like a couple weeks ago.
Right, because the dude made money. He was a smart guy. He invested all his money into stocks and bonds.
His wife is a huge bigwig in the top female real or
trader or something like that. Yeah. She taught him all how to trade, and he learned, and that was it. And listen,
right.
All the power to you. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. And I watch him on this show, and it's just that he's very monotone and like you know how guys just talk to make themselves look good, or they just talk to make themselves put themselves over. Like he wants to live this. I'm this big Texan man. I'm gonna knock you out. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, man, I make my. And then he goes to New York. Well, I make my money here, and you know, like he switches his act.
And then I climb a mountain in the fucking
right. In the fucking Himalayas. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I feel like the dude did enough shit to get himself in trouble now because I think when Ronaldo said that he was getting picked on, I think he was the catalyst of all these other guys coming out. It's like when back in the day when athletes didn't want to admit they were gay. And it took one guy to come out, and now all of a sudden everybody's gay. Or autism. Like, autism's a big deal now. Like, it was misdiagnosed for so long, and now every other kid now is autistic because they're diagnosed properly. I think something had to happen. Something
for the peanut disease. They didn't have a fucking peanut table when I was in school.
Right.
And now there's peanut tables and shit.
Exactly. I think there has to be a catalyst. I think so. Ronaldo was the catalyst. Justin Roberts jumped on it. Edge apparently wrote about it before this even came out. So
tomorrow just not show up, or was he sent home? What happened on that one?
He wasn't sent home. We had remember that snowstorm we had a couple of weeks ago, like that blizzard.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a bunch of shows here on the Northeast, and I don't know where he lives. I know he's Canadian. I don't know if he lives in Canada.
He's gonna make his plane the first week. Yeah. Or some shit.
And then all of a sudden, he's not showing up, like more than usual. And then we've come to find out it was a health issue. He's a head case. So I don't know.
And this was through him.
Yeah.
Sharing this information.
Yeah. He's diagnosed. He's diagnosed. So now. But now it comes out that he was mistreated, and you know, like he basically used his sickness to get out of his gig. Basically, it wasn't bothering him before, and now he was getting fucking picked on, and he's like, oh, you know, now I'm gonna say something, whatever, blah blah blah. And it's clearly that's how it happened. This is my opinion. And again, I'm not justifying. I'm not sticking up for JBL. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
It just seems petty, even though it's not petty. It's just as in the way they're handling it. The way they're handling it, it just seems the Justin Roberts really. It's just. Like, I don't know if he's trying to sell books or what the fuck he's standing, of course. Yeah, that's what he's trying to do, sell books.
Everybody, it's all a gimmick, man. Everybody's trying to sell something.
Because it's kind of like, what's Justin Roberts going to call? A fucking Friday Night Football game at best again? He's done. He's never going to be an announcer or any, you know, or TNA. Right. And no, he's not going to TNA.
Right, exactly. No, you're right. You're right. Everybody's trying to sell something. Everybody's trying to be.
Yeah, because within 6 months, we're not going to hear that guy's name ever again.
Well, that's the thing, dude. He's not around. Now he has this outlet. He wants to stay relevant. Like Sonny.
So next year at WrestleCon with Justin Roberts on a fucking table signing.
Of course he will. Next to Virgil doing 8x10s. Absolutely he will. And you know what? Sonny's going to be there and what's a face? Not Baby Doll.
Sonny, I mean, good God.
Missy Hyatt. Missy Hyatt's on Twitter. Dude, Missy Hyatt. You got to follow her on Twitter. Every fucking day, every time there's an event, she posts stuff about, she critiques. Sid Vicious, same thing. They're on Twitter now all the time, tweeting about Raw and SmackDown. You know why? Because they want to be relevant. Hell, Big Van Vader was like, I have 6 months to live. No, you don't have 6 months to live. You have congestive heart failure and you're 450 pounds. That's why you're going to die. And you're not going to die in 6 months if you take care of yourself. These people...
You're a fucking ass.
That's all. And they want to stay... But the problem is they want to stay relevant. Because
he was giving out like the cancer, like I've been given 6 months to live.
Right.
He was coming out like that fucking shit.
On social media, dude.
I know.
That's the thing, man. It's like everybody has a gimmick. Everybody wants to sound relevant and stay over. It's like, dude, no one cares. Like now, what's a face just wrote a book, I think, Austin's ex-wife, Jenny Clark. Remember her? She was Lady Blossom.
Yeah.
She was married to Chris Adams, and she married Austin. Apparently, she was a big drug addict, apparently, and now she's coming out with this book, and she's probably going to do, like, self-help shit, you know?
Yeah, one that I was surprised, I rarely listened to the guy, but I saw do WrestleMania, so I was like, I'm going to check Sam Roberts' podcast. AJ Lee.
Yeah, she just put out a book.
Yeah, I would have. I'm like, how the fuck did you would have never thought that? Right, like, what you fucking are making rounds and shit.
Yeah, well,
like, I thought he had her like Savage and Elizabeth in a cage.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Like, wow. So, yeah, that blew my mind when AJ Lee's wrote a book and she's making her rounds now.
Crazy. It's absolutely
insane. She was at WrestleCon.
Of course she was. Dude, that's going to be that WrestleCon. Everybody's involved. Every promotion has a card going on that weekend now. WrestleMania weekend has become a week. They started having matches on Thursday. Ring of Honor was down there. Evolve was down there. I think two of the England promotions were down there. Everybody and their mother had a card. WrestlePro here in Jersey, Pat Buck's organization with Brian Myers. Now he's Curt Hawkins again. Their promotion was down there. And a lot of their guys now.
Funky Talk Man headlined a fucking card.
Yeah. Sandman was a headliner. Nick German was down there. He took pictures. He knows. He saw, they had a mega card. Like, everybody and their mother was involved in it. So, again, it's that part of it is cool. The ugly part of it is the social media part of it. And that's basically how it goes. So,
right.
But I'm going to wrap it up, brother. I got to get to bed. I got another day ahead of me tomorrow. But, dude, I'm so happy you're back on. I'm glad you called, and I appreciate you calling in and bailing me out tonight. I had nothing tonight.
No
I really,
problem, brother.
I had nothing tonight. I was exhausted. I wasn't going to do the show. I told AA if I didn't get home in time, I wasn't going to do it. But I got home in time. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. So. And that's pretty much it. But, dude, anytime, man, you want to come on, we'll get you on when I take calls. When I take calls, definitely have to call in. But
appreciate it. Send a happy Easter to the family. Happy Easter to all the listeners out there.
Yes, man.
And, I will text with you soon, though, so.
Yeah, dude, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to text you an ECW thing when I pull out of storage. But I'll talk to you later
Sounds
on tomorrow. But all right, brother, have a good night.
Yep.
All right. Oh, man, Mr. X, Surfer, chat room is hopping tonight, so I don't feel too bad. Thank you guys for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the chat room for hanging out. Let's play some plugs, and let's get the fuck out of here and get to bed. I got a long day tomorrow, so let's play some Sick of It All. Shout out to Gilbert, by the way, for inspiring me to play some New York Hardcore tonight. Thank you, Gil. Anyway, don't forget... what does he got? We got Surfers coming back. What are you reading? Comic book show on Sunday. Monday after Raw, you got the Sports Report with Will Morgan, 11:15. New Rant, new Shining Wizards on Tuesday. Rant and Wrestling on Thursday. And of course, hopefully, Choppy's back. So go to rantemradio.com, get all your stuff there. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, get all your stuff there. Support all our friends who are not network affiliates. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. Buy a shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Email at tbuckletbacks at Choppy Margaca. What else we got going on? That's pretty much it, man. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, rantemradio.com, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. You want to email us at TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. I think that's it, man. So on behalf of all my callers tonight in chat room, thank you very much. Hopefully Choppy will be back next week. And take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word. And just tolerance, man. Just stop with the internet beefs, too, man. It's fucking stupid. All right? And you guys know what I'm talking about. Tolerance. Take care, guys. Next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.